Hi, Summit Church. I am so excited to be here with you today. I'm Dan Houck. I'm actually one of the pastors at Bayside, but you got to know, I have been friends with Pastor Chris and Lisa for a long, long time. In fact, they were my kids' youth pastor, and he discipled them and also got them into a lot of trouble. And they turned out okay in spite of all that. But you got to know, we just love them so much, and it's a privilege to get to speak while he's on sabbatical. And I have heard so many good things about what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work. Well, I've got a message that I really believe God has laid on my heart for you this morning. Before I get into it, though, I got a couple of questions. You guys have a favorite show, maybe Netflix or Disney Plus, one of those. Maybe it's The Mandalorian, right? Or Ted Lasso, that's super popular. I'm going to go back a little. There's a show I loved years ago. It was Mike Rowe was the host. It was called Dirty Jobs. You guys remember that one? He always looked really bad at the end of it. But he had a saying on that show, and it was safety third. And I know he didn't think safety was unimportant, but just that safety was one of those things that if it was actually first in a lot of those jobs, the chances are nothing would get done. And I was thinking about that with our culture, and the reality is things have changed a lot over the years. I remember when I was young, we had this game. We called it Jarts, but it was also called Lawn Darts. And if you remember it, great, but if you're a little younger, you probably don't. Figure a little tiny dart, right, and then expand it to about that big with a heavy-weighted pointy end, and then give some kids those darts and have them throw them up in the air. What possibly could go wrong? Or I remember when dirt clods, when I was a kid, dirt clods were actually toys, and we would throw them at each other. We called it a dirt clod war, and it would only end when somebody got hurt and went home to their mom. And the other thing is, I remember a time when we didn't have to wear seatbelts. In fact, when I was young, our parents took us on a 7,000-mile cross-country trip, and me and my two sisters spent the entire summer in the back of a truck with a canopy, with a shell. Like, there was times when it was 100 degrees out and we'd have to open the side windows to let a little air in. And then my parents would have this little boot you could open up, and we would poke our heads in the front and say, oh, it's so cool up here, Mom and Dad. Now, I'm not saying that they tortured us, but I'm not saying they didn't either. But the reality is, in those days, we used to spend so much time thinking about living. I think we spend too much time thinking about dying these days. And I'm not against safety, and I think the child restraint things are important and all that. But the reality is, it's the risks in life that we take that sometimes make life worth living. So I want to talk to you about taking risks today, but I want to start off by reading a verse out of Hebrews. That's where I'm going to be this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, which is known to a lot of people as the faith chapter of the Bible. This is what Hebrews 11:6 says. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, you might think that faith is kind of a list of rules or a theology, but when you read this chapter, you realize faith is a lot more than that. Faith is trust in someone that leads you to do something. It's trust in someone that leads you to do something, to take an action. And so I want to talk about Abraham this morning, because he was a person of faith that took steps. And I'm going to share three risks that I think we all need to take to have a better life. The first risk, live for great over good. Live for great over good. Let me read verse 8 in chapter 11 for you. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You see, sometimes we try and live for the good. We try and hold on to the good when what God wants for us is what's great. Jim Collins, who wrote a great book, has this to say: good is the enemy of great. Few people attain great lives, in large part because it's just so easy to settle for a good life. Now, Abraham, you got to know where he was from. He was from an area called Ur. And so what he was leaving was the cradle of civilization. It was the most advanced area on the planet at the time. I've done a little ancient Near East history. They even had indoor plumbing. They have letters from that time that were written. They had educational institutions. One of the letters that's written on cuneiform is from a son who was away at college writing to his parents to see if they would send some money to him. Some things really haven't changed. But the reality is, he was leaving something very good. He was leaving family. He was leaving the comfort of a home. He was leaving occupation and a culture that he knew. But he realized, in order to have a great life, I've got to leave what's good right now. You see, good goes to work every day, but great works for a higher purpose. Good feels comfortable. Great stretches you. Good is appreciated, but great is sought after. Good seeks safety, but great encounters hardship. Good avoids failure, but great embraces risk. So the reality is, we're going to have to risk something to leave some things behind. Let me throw a few things out there. First of all, some of you might realize right now you've got a relationship that you have, a friendship that you have, that you need to leave behind. I'm not talking about your teenager. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about a relationship that you know that you're in that somehow the best in you isn't coming out. And you need to find someone who's going to challenge you and encourage you to be a better version of yourself. Some of you have an addiction that you need to leave behind. And you might be thinking, Dan, there's nothing good about an addiction. But I'm here to tell you the reason people stay addicted is because they find something good in it. They find an outlet. They find comfort. They find an escape. I remember I kind of had my own version of an addiction. I had a relationship addiction. I just felt like when I was dating, I had to be in a relationship all the time. But I kept running into these women who were very emotionally unhealthy. And I remember someone telling me about a counselor that they loved. And so I got his name and I went to him and I explained to him, man, I'm having these problems in relationships. It seems like all these women out there are crazy. And he goes, what's the common denominator? And I said, it's crazy women. And he goes, no, you're the common denominator. And so I explained a little more about some of my hangups and things that were going on in my life. And I said, so do you think you can help me? And he goes, yeah, I think I can. How long is it going to take? Because I'm thinking, man, this is going to cost me a little. So he goes, I think if you come every 2 weeks for 2 hours a week for 2 years, I think we can work it out. I said, oh my gosh, are you serious? Am I that bad off? The reality was I was living a comfortable life. And I remember starting that process. I decided I'm going to do this. And after 2 years, almost to the week, I was a different person. I was beginning to see the world a little more the way it is instead of the way I wanted it to be. Some of us have addictions or relationships we need to leave in the past, or maybe it's stinking thinking. And you might think that's not good, but a lot of us get comfortable with feeling shame, comfortable with feeling like, you know what, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. And I'm here to say that the thing about forgiveness, that's really just pride, because God's standards say that if Jesus died for you and he forgives you, then you're forgiven. You don't have higher standards than God. And if for some reason you have a hard time forgiving yourself, sometimes the way that plays out in our lives is we can't forgive others. And we hold grudges and we beat ourselves up. I'm here to tell you, you will never be more like God than when you forgive somebody else. So we need to leave some of those behind, even though maybe they feel comfortable to us, and move to a great life that God has for us. That's the first risk. The second risk is to live out your purpose. Live out your purpose. Let me read verse 9. It says, by faith, he made his home. This is Abraham. He made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So we see Abraham here living his life of comfort, but then he makes his home in a strange land, a strange culture, and he lived out his purpose. And his purpose was to build this nation that would love God, that would know Him and be an example to nations around them. You know, sometimes people struggle with purpose. They say, I don't know my purpose, and I gotta figure it out. And purpose to them is like going to the Cheesecake Factory. You know how they give you the big menu? It's like a book, and there's 100 pages, and there's every country in the world represented. There's Italy, and there's Mexico, and Nicaragua. And I get confused when I go to Cheesecake Factory. Well, the reality is, it's not that complicated. Your purpose is not defined by you or your passions, it's defined by God. Somebody went to Jesus one time and they asked him, Teacher, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said simply, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If you look at the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, really that summarizes all of them. And our purpose is to love people. And you might be thinking, well, does that mean have good feelings about them or to be nice to them? Well, of course that's true, but love goes beyond that. Now, let me explain kind of love from my perspective of being married to Teresa. She's at home sick right now. And so she's in bed and she texted me the other day telling me how bad she felt and, you know, could you go by the store? And so, of course, you know, I went to the store and I got her some things I think that would make her feel better. And I've been bringing her water and I've been taking care of her. So I've spent time, I've spent money, and I've gone out of my way to take care of her. That's just a small example of what it means to love somebody. When we truly love somebody, it means we're doing something, we're taking a forward action that sometimes requires sacrifice on our parts. You know, it's really interesting. I started sponsoring a compassion child many, many years ago. The child was 4 years old at the time. It was a child in Kenya. And I would send my $40 a month there, and then you do the pen pal thing where you write back and forth. And it kind of felt good to help a child. $40 a month wasn't that much to me. But I felt like I was loving that child, and I was supporting that child. Sometimes when we're living out our purpose, we don't even realize the impact that we're making in someone's life. I got to go to Africa last year in February. It was pre-COVID. It was the trip of a lifetime. I went with Compassion. We got to see some of the sites where they ministry, some of the slums where they go to. I'm telling you, it just wrecks you. It wrecks your heart to see the poverty. Well, I got to meet my Compassion child. When we started sponsoring her when she was 4 years old, now she was 16. I asked her, what do you want to do when you are done with school? Do you want to go to college? And she said, yeah, I want to go to university. And I said, oh, what do you want to study? And through the interpreter, she said, I want to be a lawyer. And I'm thinking, what in the world does somebody from a rural village want to be a lawyer for? So I asked her, why do you want to be a lawyer? And she said, a lot of the girls in my village are abused, they're mutilated, and they have no one speaking out for them. And so I want to go, I want to get my degree, and I want to come back and I want to defend them. You know, for years, I have been sending a check for $40 a month and writing her from time to time and keeping up with her. I had no idea that that was going on in her village. I had no idea that living out my purpose by loving her was having such a big impact. You know, sometimes we don't realize it when we're being loving to somebody, when we're saying a kind word, when we're investing in someone's life, when we're serving at church, serving in kids ministry, doing some of the outreaches that Summit has, that we are having an impact that lasts beyond what we realize. It is important that we take that risk to step in faith and do something that might feel a little uncomfortable at first, but when we're living out our purpose to love somebody, that risk pays off in a great life. So that's the first two. The third risk we want you to take today is to commit to the eternal. Commit to the eternal. We read this in Hebrews 11, verse 10. It says, for he was looking, this is Abraham, he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You see, even though Abraham left his home and he went to the promised land, he had an eternal perspective. He knew that what was going on in the here and now isn't all that's going on. that we were made for more. No, there's just something inside of our souls that cries out, there's got to be more to life, than these 70 years on this rock hurtling through space. There's got to be more to life than the relationships that I have right now and the love that I have right now and the things that I build right now. That's because God has built into the heart of man eternity. We know we were made for more. God has made us for a relationship with Him forever. Yes, for the time that we have here to spend on earth, but for Him in eternity. The very next chapter in Hebrews, Hebrews 12:2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, that's us, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Jesus, when He was here, His perspective wasn't just on the here and now. He had a perspective that looked beyond to eternity. And the joy that was set before Him was you. It was me. He joyfully went to the cross because He knew when He did, it would offer us forgiveness. It would offer us the ability to release the shame and the guilt that we carry around in our lives. He knew that it would transform our hearts and that we might start loving people in new and different and deeper ways. And He did it all so that He could see us transformed and have an eternal life with Him. You know, I've got a friend. She's an amazing person. And I remember her name is Lisa. She was two of my kids' kindergarten teacher. And Lisa loved teaching kindergarten. It was just her passion. It was at a Christian school. And sadly, she lost her job as a kindergarten teacher. And it hurt her because she loved it so much, but she just continued to serve. She served in the church. You would always see her with a smile on her face. How you doing? How can I pray for you? And then not too many years after that, her husband left her. She had four kids. Now she's a single mom. That's hard. If you're a single mom or a single dad, you know how hard that is. But she continued to serve and live out her purpose. And when you would see her, she wouldn't complain about her circumstances. She would say, how you doing? What's going on in your life? She was interested in others. And then she got cancer. And I'll never forget, she went through the chemo treatment, lost her hair, and sadly ended up losing her arm. It was amputated. And then she would serve, and you would see her serving in ministry. She recovered, and she'd be typing with one hand. When she would see you, she would say, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. How are you doing? Can I pray for you? Well, she got cancer one final time. And 2 weeks before she passed, my wife, Teresa, took her two kids to go see her. First thing out of her mouth was, how you doing? How you guys doing? Oh, it's so good to see you. As she's laying there on her hospital bed. Well, she passed and we went to her memorial service. There had to have been 1,000 people there. Just the room, wall to wall, filled with people there to honor Lisa. I'll never forget as the pastor gave up to give the message. He said, you know, normally at this time, in the service, the pastor gives a message of encouragement, but we have something special for you. Go ahead and pay attention to the video screen on the side. So we all paid attention to the screen and up popped Lisa. She was there in full color with a big bright smile. Hey everybody, how you doing? If you're seeing me right now, it's because I'm with Jesus. I love you all. It was the same Lisa that we had always seen. You could hear the sobs just echo through the room like a wave. She touched so many hearts because she was living for eternity. She didn't let the here and now, the things that get under our skin so much, bother her. She was so focused on Him and so focused on eternity that she couldn't be bothered with the little things that were trying to hold her back here. My hope for you is this message encourages you to take some risks today. Leave some things behind that you know aren't helping you. To live out your purpose, to love people in a tangible way, and to really have your eyes on eternity. Because folks, the here and now isn't all there is. He has an eternity for us with Him. And I think we need to live our lives today with that in mind. Can I pray with you? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You are a God that demonstrated Your love for us by sending Jesus to be with us. And I know maybe in Your mind it wasn't a risk, but You made Yourself uncomfortable so we could be comfortable. You took on shame so we could remove ours. And Lord, for those this morning who are tuning in, and maybe something I said has touched their heart, maybe they realize it's time to make a commitment to You, to start following You, to jump in with both feet, to be all in on what You have for them. And if there's something uncomfortable in their life they need to give up, to do it. Maybe to bring some accountability into their life, so somebody that could walk alongside them and celebrate recovery or AA or some other group. Or maybe they need to step in and start serving. They've been on the sidelines, and God, they know they have a purpose to show Your love to the people that are at this church or in this community. Or maybe they've never even trusted Jesus as their Savior to follow Him, and they want to do that right now. If you want to trust Jesus this morning, just simply pray this with me. Lord, I just don't want to live my life anymore. I want to take the risk of jumping all in with You. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Get rid of my guilt and shame. Show me that purpose that Dan was talking about this morning. I want to live for You. I want to live for others, and I want my life to be great. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much.